Would you pray with me? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are the one who saves us, who strengthens us, who redeems us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I need to say that Evelyn read the right scriptures. They weren't the ones printed. I changed it after the bulletin was already printed, and I called her yesterday to ask her to read those two instead. R.J. Eskow, a musician and a Fortune 500 senior executive consultant, also, at least at one time, published a blog page. A number of years ago, he, in a piece entitled Kurt Vonnegut, 1922 to 2007, he wrote, and he created the gospel from outer space in Slaughterhouse 5. That's the one where an alien decides that the flaw in the Jesus story is that Christians had apparently not intended the moral lesson, don't torment the outcast, but instead had come to a more perverse conclusion. Oh boy, they sure picked the wrong God to lynch this time, because he had a powerful dad. And I feel that is true quite often. Don't torment the outcast. And it appears that it's a lesson that many of us, in and outside the church, I have to remember to turn my phone off. I always think people know I'm a minister and they're not going to call me. I apologize. Don't torment the outcast. It seems to be a lesson many and perhaps all of us need to look at again. For years, people needed to be politically correct in order for humanity to live together. In the national election campaign last fall, we had Donald Trump, the campaigner, lambasting political correctness. And you know, that was one thing I think I could agree with him on. But now we see what this election has done and what has happened. Political correctness has gone out the window. And the white nationalists have come out of the woodwork, and we have people telling people of Arab or Mexican descent to go home or they will get it. And overnight it seems that racism, anti-Muslimism, anti-LGBTQ, and anti-immigrant violence has exploded. We're living in a very angry time. I've said this a lot lately. And people are not holding back. They're not pulling their punches. And so, as a shock to some and sadness to many, we realize that we've not come that far since the 50s and 60s, when people distrusted blacks and Asians and anyone who looked different. With political correctness, we did not hear about these things. These people kept silent. We were more civilized. I remember Dr. George Sorba, who retired pastor of the New Vernon Presbyterian Church, once shared the thought that political correctness is a way for people can act civilized but keep their prejudices. And I think that is why this explosion of anger and violence against non-Anglo-Saxon Protestants have shocked us so much. What we thought was a relic of the past has crawled into the sunlight again. Even in seeing women as equals seems to have receded somewhat. We hear about more violence against women, and the perpetrators only get slaps on the wrist. Decisions on women's issues are being made by all male groups. In the past few months, we've had people like Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly who've lost their jobs because of the harassment of women. But there are still many more out there. How can we exist as a nation with all of this trashing of races, ethnic groups, and religions that are different from ours? The problem is, I don't think we can for very long. We've become very isolationistic in our thinking. We even want to build a wall to separate ourselves from a country that we've been friends with for years. We're not as civilized or as tolerant as we thought we were. Sure, we don't use dogs and water cannons like we did back in the 60s and 50s. But make no mistake about it, people are being hurt and denigrated for being different. In the area of immigration, people come to get this jobs, they get the jobs that people in our country won't do or don't want to do. They've said they don't want to spend days in the hot sun picking fruit and vegetables for low wages. And we don't want to pay a lot for our food. But when immigration is curtailed and those people cannot come to pick, then I will wager that Americans will still not take these jobs, because they feel that these jobs are beneath them. The author of James cautions us against making class distinctions. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. The royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. So any distinction between classes of people is a sin in the eyes of God. Any distinction between people is a sin. Now, every year when I preach on this gospel passage, I always feel that it's important to point out that Thomas is not the only one who needed to see the hole in his sides and the nail prints in the hands. Listen again carefully to the story when Jesus first appeared to the disciples, when Thomas wasn't there. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after this, he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. In other words, the disciples needed to see him too. However, many hear this story being about the lack of faith in Thomas. I guess I always feel a need to stand up for Thomas. I cannot imagine why. We cry out about people coming to our country and taking our jobs, and we're afraid to take refugees who desperately want to get here. But can we put ourselves in their place for once? Their lives and their homelands have fallen apart. Their cities and their towns are being bombed. There are death squads hunting down and going through their villages. Drug cartels are wreaking havoc on local villages. And I think if we were in a situation like that, we would flee to this country as well. We don't have time to go through the lengthy process to come, because there's a good chance that if we do, then we or members of our family will be dead. This is the story of many who have come to our country. Not all of them, I'll grant you that, but many of them. We don't know what they are leaving, but because they look different, we can't tolerate them. We cannot exist with them. But if you're a farmer, especially out in the Southwest or out in California, you may not be able to exist without them. Life is not easy to sort out. It's difficult for many people. And we need to find ways to coexist with our human brothers and sisters. And isn't that what James was saying when he said, loving your neighbor as yourself? Peter realized in Acts that the Spirit of God is available to all people. God shows no partiality. If you were a Gentile, God would bestow God's gift on you. This was a seismic shift in the thinking of the early church. Before this, only Jews could receive God's Spirit. We have to get away from our personal isolationistic thinking. It will eat away at not only the vestiges of our civility, but also the life of our nation and the world. As I said, as difficult as it's been, I'm glad to see political correctness fall away. Because that only creates a mask when we use political correctness. It only creates a mask to hide our prejudices. I prefer to see or hear the true person I'm dealing with. And I'm sure those who receive the brunt of the prejudice would like to know who they are dealing with as well. We need to learn, to relearn how to coexist with our human brothers and sisters so humanity can be more human. Kurt Vonnegut once said, "I can think of no stirring symbol of man's humanity than a fire engine." Now think about that. A fire engine? If you have a hot fire in your home, the fire company will come and put it out. They will not look to see if you are the right color or ask if you gave during the last fire department fund drive. They will come and put the fire out. Life is tough enough as it is. We all need each other. Mark Vonnegut, Kurt's son and a writer in his own right, has said, "We are here to help each other get through this thing, whatever it is." It doesn't help to use language that over the years has been used to denigrate one group or another. It only perpetuates despair among those who are the object of the prejudice. And it will only take it for so long. And then they will begin to fight back. Many denigrate the Black Lives Matter movement. But if you're one of them, if you're a black person, would you not feel despair as day after day people of color are being gunned down by the law enforcement, in some cases while running away? You can only take it so long. We need to be grateful that Black Lives Matter is a peaceful movement. Trey Ellis is a black novelist, essayist, screenwriter, and teacher at Columbia University. He wrote a blog after Don Imus made that prejudicial statement about the Rutgers University women's basketball team 10 years ago. Hard to believe it's been 10 years. The blog was titled, "Can We All Just Get Along?" And he wrote, "As a kid growing up in an all-white neighborhood in the Northeast in the 1970s, I know a little something about name-calling. I will never forget when I was in middle school frantically sprinting through the backyards of Italian East Haven, Connecticut, with a half dozen beefy stallion high schoolers chasing me and shouting, 'Go back to the Congo!' I wanted to stop and correct them, informing them that I had in fact hailed from nearby Hamden, Connecticut, but they didn't seem to be in the mood for a geography lesson. There are enough people chasing people in the world for various reasons. We don't need more of it. We are called to see the face of Christ in the face of each other, of the other person, whether they are black, Mexican, Asian, Muslim, LGBTQ, male or female. There are to be no distinctions. And we're not only asked to see the face of Christ in their face, but because of that, we are called to respect them as persons and allow them to work out their lives in peace and freedom, and to earn a decent wage." James said, "It's a sin to make distinctions between classes of people. That is the sin that we must actively be letting go of in our lives and encouraging others to let go of in their lives. It's not just about appearances, but what is in our heart. The road to hell for our lives and the life of the nation is paved with distinctions that build walls. But the road that will save us is paved with respect and love for all people. We must take that road, or we will suffer. That's the only way we can exist in a world full of humans." Amen.